Yeah. That's okay.
That's alright.
The rest are crap, so let's go with that. It's really bad.
A mild chuckle
is on the forecast for this April evening.
Yes, and cusp of regional Mideastern war and potential of a worldwide conflict, depending if China or Russia think maybe that the U.S. Congress is just weak enough to not be able to react to aggression.
So if I fire a bunch of Nerf bullets at the guy in the next cubicle, and he deflects them all. Yes, my aggression was real, and I did aggress, but if there was no damage done, boy, it's hard to. I don't know. It's a curious situation.
All depends what it is. See, all depends what it is. Now, one did get through. At least 1% got through. 1% of 300 is actually 3. So 3 got through. There was damage to property. There was no damage to people, and that is in retaliation to a strike on the embassy, which killed 2 high-ranking military officials. So Iran didn't do shit in retaliation, but watch Israel make sure that they do the next time. This time, Iran says, you know what? We're going to retaliate. We'll give you the date and the time. So you can ready your defense missiles and make sure that nobody gets killed, because we really don't want a war with the United States and the allied NATO nations, blah, blah, blah. That's what they did. They gave them alerts. And now what fucking stupid-ass Netanyahu is going to risk and his war cabinet is them doing something, and this time Russia says, we're going to do it again, and this time you don't get any time. And it's a 12-minute alert.
Yeah.
Watch those get through.
So
Netanyahu's got to fucking go. That's the problem.
But I mean, for sure, he's the one that dropped the ball and let October 7th happen or whatever. But
let's drop the ball. Like making Hamas a fucking financial partner. Well,
right,
them?
Exactly. So, for sure, but it's complicated in that
I don't think this part's all that complicated, frankly. As Joe Biden told him,
everyone
take the win.
Right.
Take the win.
But as any sixth grade boy on the playground knows, when someone punches you, you punch them slightly harder, and then they do the same until you're going as hard as you can.
Well, right? And so using that analogy,
which is
Iran,
yeah,
the 6-year-old says, you killed 2 people, watch this, and gives them a 1-2 punch, misses, does that,
yep,
297 times, and each time the 6-year-old Israel deflects the punch and doesn't ever get hit.
Right.
3 times they get punched and it's a glancing body blow.
Yep.
If I'm Israel, I say, is that all you got, fucker? And you turn around and you walk away, and you're the victor.
Yes.
And if they throw something,
yes,
at you as you're walking away, you turn around and you look at them and you say, you're such a weak ass shit.
Yep.
And just walk away.
Yes.
You take the higher ground.
Yep.
And you win the support, in this case, of the Western allies, who are all saying the same thing. Take the win.
Which
Netanyahu says, fuck you, I ain't listening to you. I'm not listening to you liberals.
Well, so far, that's all it is his speech. Like, we haven't, he hasn't actually retaliated yet as we record this.
Do you have any doubt that he will?
I mean, politicians.
He said he would. He said it again 2 days in a row. Not telling you when or how, but yeah, we will retaliate. We won't stand for this. When we struck them, they deserved it. We didn't deserve to get anything back. You gave us something back, and now you're escalating.
Okay, no. Okay, but
Iran did not escalate, bro. They did not escalate. They took the timid road. Take the win.
Okay, but why would you not retaliate if someone did that to you?
Who? In the case of Israel?
In case of...
As you pointed out, retaliate for what? 297 misses? And three struck targets, which caused some physical damage, but no lives? We'll take it. That's it? Thank you. End of the drama. Let me now pay attention to what I've got to pay attention to. What would you want to... Why do you want to piss off the other Mideastern countries and the Western countries by telling them we're not listening to your advice? If I'm the U.S., you know what I say? You strike back and you're not getting any fucking weapons, so fuck you.
Well, of course, yeah. But the... let's go back to the playground. If somebody threatens you and misses, should you... Yes, there's an argument that you should just be like, well, what a loser, haha. But there's also an argument to deter others from even attempting to punch you, where you would be like, well, let's make an example of this idiot that missed.
But you've already done that. You've already shown that your power is there by deflecting the impact. And it's like, you know, I'm going to show some restraint after this. It's obvious that us and our allies, including Jordan, that was actively engaged, and our forces,
yep,
were actively engaged. We had people shooting down missiles in our jets.
Yep.
This is what we were trying to avoid, is having our soldiers, in this case, Air Force soldiers, right, but Air Force engaged. And this is the line that the United States is saying is, Israel, don't make me have to show how much further I'll go by prompting an unannounced. Because if it's unannounced, my jets that are on the ground, which can intercept in a 12-minute window, this time, they're going to be in harm's way, and there's going to be people killed, and it could be us. And for all we know, some of the targets the next time will be U.S. military targets in Israeli soil, as they should be if from the perspective of Iran, as well as... Let's throw some shit at Jordan. Iran wants to build a regional conflict, and it wants to be able to blame Israel for doing it. That's why they didn't go so aggressive. They would have been blamed if 150 of 300 would have got through and there were lives lost, because that would have really required Israel to do what you're suggesting, which is more retaliation. Iran very purposely did not do that. They knew fucking well.
Yeah, it's,
for all they knew, all of them would be deflected.
Right.
Take the win.
It's the playground analogy, which I don't think I had heard, but just came to me. But
by the way, they're not 6-year-olds, but
yeah. Anyway. I said sixth graders. Thank you very much.
Well, whatever.
But they're
not sixth graders either.
But
obviously.
No. But it's very much like announcing the attack.
Human instinct.
Announcing the attack of like, let's meet at the flagpole, after school, after those of us that have detention have served our detention, and then we will duke it out or whatever. Which,
well, but
and,
let me interrupt.
And then it's
more than that.
But and then it turns out that that Israel has like some martial arts deflection abilities, and it's like your Mr. Miyagi thing where like the guy's punching him and it's like fa 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 fa, and then
and the one sixth grader who's saying meet me at the flagpole is saying meet me at the flagpole and let me tell you what I'm gonna do.
Right, exactly. I'm gonna throw this punch and that punch and this punch. Yeah,
right. And just so and so you're ready, because somebody might say, I really don't want to hurt you here, I just want a safe face. Me showing up at the flagpole is enough,
right,
for me.
Right.
I hope it's enough for you. And Israel now is on the verge of becoming the bully. It's saying, it isn't enough that I deflected and show that you can't fucking hurt me with notice.
Yes.
And now I'm going to escalate and I'm going to say to you, yeah, well, watch this. I'm going to punch you in the nose. Now what are you going to do? This time, the other guy says,
ouch.
I'm not going to tell you. And kicks him in the fucking balls.
Yes.
Then breaks his fucking nose.
Yes. Yes, yes, yes.
And then the other guy says, hey, I got to bring my buddies in.
Yep.
Got to bring my buddies in. The first guy, Iran, they don't have any buddies. They're controlling the buddies. They're controlling Hezbollah and other shit. But that all came from Iran. Where did it go? It wasn't Israel, just Israel. It was the U.S. and Jordan. That's why Iran is saying, you know, if it weren't for your fucking friends, I would have fucking slaughtered you. But they scare me. That one guy, that guy who dresses in red, white, and blue, who's 6'5", that's a big sixth grader. He worries me. So, you know, let's just not take this any further, you know.
Yeah.
And then they hope for the best. And Israel says, fuck you. Punch, kick you in the balls and punch you in the nuts. And then the big guy says, oh, Christ, I was going home.
Right.
Now I got to stay here. Now I got to hurt people. I may break a leg because they're going to come at me.
Yep. No. The metaphor is working.
Netanyahu.
Metaphor is working.
Fuck Netanyahu. He needs to get out. They call for early elections, you know.
I agree. Fuck Benji, as I always say.
Benji.
Yeah.
Like a rat.
Yeah, it's a disaster, but...
Well, the other thing is this, let's not forget.
But if someone had told you a week ago Iran was going to attack Israel, that would have been the biggest news.
It was the biggest news, and that was what the news was. Because Iran announced it days ahead of time.
It would have been the biggest news of this year, but as it is, it isn't.
It was.
It isn't of this year.
It was the...
Of this entire year, it will not be the biggest news that Iran attacked and failed to do any damage. Like,
it's up. It's very likely up there. But it certainly was the biggest news, and it caused... enormous consternation in this country.
Okay, you're plugged into the 24-hour news apparatus in a way that I am not. But at the end of this year, when we say, do you remember what happened in April? You're not going to be able to remember. Oh, that was when Iran failed to attack Israel. Unless...
I might.
Unless that is the shooting of the Archduke that turns the rest of the year into shit.
Well, so your hypothetical needs to be elaborated a bit, because you're going to ask me in December,
right,
about the big news, and what you don't know and I don't know is what happens next.
Right, of course.
If Israel responds with a kick in the nuts and the punch in the face. You sure as and then Iran surprises and kills people, and then they retaliate again. We're going to say, yeah, April 15th, tax day,
right.
Whoops, I mean bomb day, is etched in my memory.
Right, exactly. So that's, right. So either it is an amazing turning point, or it is a forgotten footnote.
I think it's pretty big news, but
the fact that it hasn't changed, like I heard about it and I was like, oh shit, everything's gonna break now. And then a couple days went by and I was like, why didn't anything break? And then I
because Jordan well, the US well, and,
then, and,
Israel.
And then I went and I learned that they shot a bunch of things into the sky and nothing ever fell down. Three.
It's funny that they say that, that the news says, 300 missiles, unmanned aircraft launched, 99% stopped, instead of saying three got through. 99% sounds a lot better than
three. I can math. Three. I know what that means.
You can math.
I math all the time.
A lot of the world can't math.
I math in the blood of my enemies. I mathe in the blood.
Oh, Lord. So we've had a spring has sprung.
You said that?
Here in Kalamazoo.
Last year and
all
every...
All the trees,
every,
so, all the buds. Yep. All the green, it's just, it's that moment when you know, it might get a little cold again, but everything knows, the world knows that spring is here. And the anticipation I have of, I don't like winters, and I'm not one who believes, it, as I did when I was younger, oh, that the spring and the summer and the fall just last forever. I'm already anticipating next winter, which I'm not looking forward to again. But increasingly, I take advantage of this great weather and get out there and get my hands in the dirt and weed and garden and trim up the yard and whatnot. So it's a great, great moment for that. And it literally happened one day. It was like not a lot of stuff had bloomed. Some stuff had bloomed, and then it got warm, and then it rained off and on for a couple of days. And suddenly, yesterday, it was like, holy shit, man, it's sprung. Spring has sprung. It's a glorious, glorious thing.
I have to say, I mean, you asked me in a couple months, I might change my mind, but I'm pretty sure that spring is my favorite season, because
really,
it's like there hope springs again, right?
That's where the saying came
right.
from.
Like,
I'm just saying, hope springs eternal is what the phrase.
The fact that the name of our season is also a verb is telling.
So is the fall.
Indeed, and outside of the U.S., English speakers call it autumn. But it's just nice to be reminded that when everything looks shitty and dead, no, life comes back, and there is hope. It's a season of hope, as I.
When I'm outside and everything is dead.
Yep.
I can't believe the thoughts in my head. My heart so grieves the winter storms. I wish for spring when hope returns. When hope returns, I'll be myself. I'll try to live beyond the shelf where I have sat all winter long. A canning jar that don't belong. I love the effects. So I had
a canning jar that don't belong.
I had a professional meeting late yesterday, and it was a Microsoft Teams meeting. So I had access to the background stuff that I otherwise don't have.
Yes.
Maybe I have it here, but it's not easy to identify. This stuff just offers it to you.
Sure.
And I was 3 or 4 minutes early, so I tried all these different backgrounds, and they were all so fucking weird or just ostentatious. And there were some that were like strange artwork kind of thing that I thought, this would give the impression that I want. I'm eccentric and I'm unpredictable. whoa.
It's such a...
Or artsy.
The modern remote work Zoom meeting world, the art of choosing your background is increasingly interesting. Now that it's been, 2020 was 4 years ago. So it's less common that people choose a funny background or whatever, but some people are still working in a room in their house where in the background it's their dirty clothes are hanging over furniture and shit. And so you can put a nice IKEA furniture sort of backdrop or whatever, or a sunset or whatever. It's interesting. Since I hung my guitars here, I've been pretty pleased with that as look, I'm a cultured person. Look at my background with my guitars. sort of a setup.
Well,
that I don't ever touch.
Since I'm your main audience, and I don't feel that way, I think your theory might be a little untested.
No. You're not the only person I ever have a video call with, Dennis. Just saying. I'm sorry to break.
I'm not.
No, I'm promiscuous.
What? There are others. Are you like Scarlett Johansson and Her? You've got 5,703 other lovers?
Yes, you are not my only podcast partner. Huh. Well,
all right.
Mostly you are.
Well, what else you got? We may have to end early.
So,
whatever.
This week has been
whatever
interesting because...
Maybe to you, not to me. Whatever.
Yeah, exactly. My...
Go tell your other person this story. What else you got?
My parents have shown up since we have spoken, and they're here. But
so last I had understood from them, they were planning to disown you. That's obviously changed.
I mean, the week is young, but you know it might happen.
I don't know. Well, keep your radar alert.
I haven't signed any documents yet.
If they say, hey, can we kind of gather in the living room at a certain time on a certain day,
right,
beware. And if that happens, bring me in, put me on a screen in the room,
yeah,
and I will intervene in your behalf.
You're an advocate for me.
I will be an advocate for you, yes.
That's nice.
Yes, I owe you that much. Or as I might say, given my skill set, I owe you that little.
I agree. Your skill set is little.
All right. Well, in that case, I'm not going to do it at all. So fuck you. You're on your own. Happy? Are you happy, Iran?
I'm pretty pleased. Thank you.
Oh no, you broke character. Iran's never happy.
The other disturbance in our lives here apart from the visitation.
So you characterize your parents' visit as a disturbance?
Yes.
I'll pass that on. I'll pass that on. I'm sure your mother will feel very loved by that.
It's a turbulence in the air, right?
Well, turbulence is not what you said. You instantly changed it to sound a little bit better.
Disturbance.
You said disturbance.
I mean,
that's a big difference.
Look, your life is like a river, and then someone wades into it, and you might be happy that they've waded into it, but like the water has to flow around them, right?
And they create some turbulence. That's not a bad choice.
Right.
If they create a disturbance, whatever is happening is disturbing, and disturbing is not a good thing.
Well, not necessarily. Disturbing
no,
means,
not necessarily.
Means disrupting the regular flow, by my definition.
Well, that's disruption. If you meant that, you could say that.
Okay.
But you didn't mean that. You meant disturbing, which is more negative than anything you've said. But anyway, so you don't want your parents to be there. What else?
You're very disturbing and disruptive. and turbulent.
Well, at best I'm turbulent. At worst I'm disturbing.
You're disturbing.
And if you want me to be more mild, I'd be, what was the third word?
You are disturbulent.
Yeah. Ooh.
Take that. So apart from these knuckleheads being here, we also have a third guest. Did I tell you about this last week? I probably did, but you probably forgot.
Your SID is returned?
No.
Sorry.
We have an exchange student from French Guiana visiting.
Really? Who did you send there?
Well, we didn't actually exchange.
Your son?
We didn't actually exchange, although that would have been a good play. We have a visitor from French.
A one-way guest.
Yes. Do you know where French Guiana is? I did not.
You know, I knew at one time.
Uh-huh.
I think it's safe to say it's nowhere near France.
Yes, it's true that.
It's in Africa. It's in the African continent.
Yes, that is what I would have said. and we would have been wrong. Yes. It is it borders Brazil. It is on the northeast coast of South America.
Oh, okay.
And yeah, exactly.
I guess that'd be my second guess.
Yeah, well, now that you know that that's the truth, yes, it would have been mine too.
No. I can be objective about this and suggest that it'd be. I'm not.
I could have quizzed you and been like.
I'm not Benjamin Netanyahu.
And it could have been like. So, do you think it's closer to China or the Philippines or?
Yeah. Oh, I could have answered those questions. But anyway.
Anywho.
Move on. Or do you want to take this up with one of your other podcasters?
Iniqua. We have this 15-year-old girl staying with us for... tonight is her last night, actually. She's been here for like five days.
Huh. What is she doing when she's there?
So, there's like 15 of them from French Guiana who are coming to visit 15 students from my daughter's high school, and they're each one is staying in a different person's house, and they have been doing this thing of tourism around our local area, so they. They've been going to see all the sites. They've been taking bus trips with their, so my daughter and her and her and her French friend have been spending most of the days doing activities that are organized by the people that are organizing this trip.
So you don't have to provide transportation or supervision.
No, there was one day where I had to. One day where I had to drive them 20 minutes away, but the rest of the time they're on their bus. I have to make them like little sandwiches in the morning. And
how come you made them with so little?
Because they don't need that much sustenance in the midday. I don't know.
Were they satisfied with the lunch? Did they comment?
I have received. So this girl that has been with us is, she's so nice. She's so open and just pleased. It reminds me of how when I first came to Spain and I didn't speak the language at all, but I was meeting my then girlfriend's parents and family, and I was just like all smiles and nods, and they would serve me something and I would eat it and I'd be like, and I won their hearts doing that, just being smiley and nodding and
right.
Yes.
So you had them fooled.
Right, exactly. And so yes. this girl is doing exactly that. Like she smiles. She's happy with everything. There's no complaints. When dinner's over, she's the first to get up and clear the table. You know, that sort of level of guest that is just the perfect possible guest. The weird thing is is that her English and Spanish are pretty minimal. The idea is, oh, they're traveling here to learn Spanish, but really they're traveling here to travel. But this particular girl that's staying with us got super lucky in that she's with my daughter, who has been going to French classes for a long, long, long time.
Oh.
And so it's, I have never really seen my daughter speak French, but when they get together, they're just like, je la parle,
that's better for your daughter than it is for your student.
Yes, exactly. So we're winning that. The other kids, the other French Guiana kids that are staying with Spanish only speaking families must just be, you know, out of their, you know, out of their element. But
if you were in the sixth grade and on the playground and somebody insulted the student, what would you do? Would you punch him in the nose?
If I was in the sixth grade and someone insulted this girl that's come to stay with us.
Yes.
No, I would do what my daughter does and be like, you're stupid. She's cool. Huh. Like.
Boring.
Right, exactly.
That doesn't further our discussion.
Oh, yes. I would.
Punch your face.
Yeah, I would break their all their bones, and then like, and then tell the big strong guy with the red, white, and blue to come and kick some more ass. Yeah. No, but
cool.
It's been fun, and it's been. I'm so proud of her for, just. This being the fact that you're being forced to speak a language that you sort of know means that you end up saying a lot of sentences like, it's like the thing where you do the thing and you put the other thing there and it's like it goes around and like you have to talk around, you have to try and describe what you mean when you mean like a wheel or whatever. But they live in this world where they can pull up their phones and type a sentence, and it can be instantly translated.
Ah, right.
And then they spend a lot of time like type, and they show the other person, and they're like, type.
So isn't there a thing where you can each have on a pair of headphones and talk into a computer, and it gets translated in close to real time?
Sort of, if you want to both wear headphones. Like, for years we've been close to that technology. We've been really close to being like, yeah. A couple times my father has visited and had an app on his iPad and been like, oh, let's. He and my father-in-law get together, and he's like, so let me hold this. I hold this down here, and I speak in English, and then it pops out, and it's spoken to you in Spanish, and then he...
Out loud?
Yeah.
Through the transmitter?
Yeah. And it works for as long as it takes to get bored with that. Like, it doesn't take that long. To be
bored.
Yeah.
Because it's not...
Because it's not real.
Social. It's more... Right.
If you really need to know how to get to the local movie theater or whatever, then yes, those tools can help. But if you just want to make a friend, boy, they get in the way. So
yeah. So what's happening seasonally in España?
España. Seasonally. Well, we just had Easter.
No, but what's weather? I mean, what's... Fill me in.
At the moment, we've slipped back towards winter. There were days when I was outside in short sleeves and almost wishing I had short pants, but not quite. But then lately, today and this week has been chilly. And by chilly, I mean 50s, 60s, and Fahrenheit.
Yeah.
And a little rainy.
It's remarkably similar to what we are experiencing, even though it's on the other side of the world. Or is that... Are you, like, exactly on the other side of the world?
No.
So that would explain it? I mean,
No. Where
are you again? What?
I'm here.
Got a globe up here.
I'm here.
Oh, there you are.
I'm actually pretty close to you. Like, when you think... when you think Michigan and Spain, you're going to imagine Spain being further south, right?
Not really. Frankly, I don't have an image.
Well,
that's really bad.
That's bad. Bad of you. But Spain...
Hey, I don't need your fucking judgment. If you want to judge your other podcasters, go ahead. But I'm not fair game.
But Spain is around. I think I'm north of you, if that makes crazy sense. But just believe me.
Don't get up and get the globe. No. I won't.
Don't be a globetrotter. But in general, Spain and England are so much warmer than, say, Boston, because we have the Gulf Stream that comes up and brings all the warmth from Mexico up to us. But latitudinally, we are we're quite north. The other crazy globe thing is Western North Carolina, where I'm from and you have lived, all of Western North Carolina is east, and no, is west of South America. All of South America is east of Western North Carolina. Isn't that crazy? You like in my mind, it's North America and South America, like one is below the other, right? On the map.
I'm looking at a globe, and yes, that's what it looks like.
But actually, all of South America is east of...
So is the globe, as it's depicted generally, not showing the proper axis of the planet? Because if I turned the globe 180 degrees, in fact, South America would be east of North America. So that must be it. That must be it. The depiction of a globe, which is on an axis, actually, because it spins, is not accurate.
No, you're misunderstanding.
I'm wrong?
Yes. There is a north and a south pole based on...
Oh, yeah. Right. That's where right.
That's where Santa Claus and the penguins are.
Right. And so, given that, and I'm looking at the globe, and I clearly see that South America is below... North America, you want to explain this to me in a way that's cogent?
It is south. But there are two dimensions here. North, south, east, west. Yes?
Oh, yes. Got you. Right. Now I look at the globe and I see what you mean. It is in a quadrant which is both southern and eastern.
Correct. Yes.
If you were to cut the globe into four...
Slices.
Four slices, yes. A melon, so to speak. Yes, I can see that.
Yes. Hemispheres. So to
speak. All of South America, in fact. Almost all of South America is east of the United States. Southeast.
Correct. Yes, that's what I was saying. Well done.
Would have been, when you said east, it didn't sound like southeast. It sounded like east. It's actually east. Well, actually, it's not. It's southeast. So yeah, it is east. But just to be clear, it's actually southeast.
Uh-huh.
But that's all right. We put it together. We figured it out.
We did. Yes. Well done.
We did. You needed help.
We did.
You needed some help.
Yes.
In your description. You needed some help.
Well, thank you for your help.
Well, you're welcome. So now we're going to meet by the flagpole?
I mean, I'm after your willful misunderstanding, I'm... my eastern fist.
That's a great term. Willful misunderstanding.
My eastern fist has like something to talk to you about.
Well, yes. I must say that you're very accurate. That is, in fact, willful misunderstanding. And more than that, it's negative. It's absolutely I can say benevolent. I can't say malevolent. I can't say it. I don't know what's happened to my tongue.
Malevolent.
Malevolent.
What?
You can't hear. Malevolent. Malevolent.
Malevolent.
Malevolent.
Malevolent. Malevolent. Malevolent.
It's malevolent. It's disturbing. It's turbulent.
It's
upsetting.
It's turbulent.
It's grotesque. It's tragic.
Yes.
All the above. That's why people listen to us, because of all those things.
We are a veritable thesaurus of thesauri.
We're veritable thesaurus of negative impressions.
Malevolent thesauri.
Thesauri. So,
yes.
How are you feeling? Well, I woke up and I had a sore eye. Which was the Sorai?
Yes. Do you have another word for that?
My Eastern Eye. It was my Eastern Eye. We know that one eye is east of the nose, and why one eye is west of the nose, unless, of course, you're sleeping. And when you're sleeping, one eye is north of your nose, and one eye is south of your nose. If you turn over on your side, then the other eye is north and south. Now, you try to define things.
Yes.
You can't define the eye-eye-nose coordinates.
The undefinable.
You can't. Yeah. If you're upside down, the opposite eye is north and south.
True. If you're in Australia, say what?
Australia. Australia is in my thesaurus.
So
the sore eye we call Australia.
I have two comments. Let me see if I can remember the second as I state the first.
I'm not hopeful.
No.
Go ahead.
Let's do them in reverse order. Let's do the second one first.
That doesn't help you at all.
Just to throw you off. Did you know that there... I may have mentioned this before. There is an Aboriginal tribe in Australia that doesn't have a word for left and right. They refer to directions as the cardinal directions, north, south, east, and west. So at any given time, as they are walking around the world, they know which way is north and which way is south and which way is... So at...
Intuitively.
Like, they've internalized this as they are turning... They're in their mind, their compass is turning. So, and they've done these experiments where they will put them into a labyrinth, like with no, you can't see the sky, you know, it's a closed box, and they walk them down this hallway and left and this way and that way and this way and that way and this way and that way. And they still know, oh, well, they will say, the coffee cup is north of the piece of candy or whatever.
And did they have a control group of non-Aboriginals who were given the same task?
I don't even think you need that because the control group is so obviously going to fail at that.
Well, that's not scientific at all.
Well, sure, fine.
That's an assumption.
Yes.
Hey, don't get... Ah, here you go. You're getting smart with me.
You could take...
Not just so fine, not however or whatever. You know, you might get away with that with your other 5,702 podcasters that you have, Scarlet.
Yes.
But you don't get away with that with me. I'll meet you by the flagpole.
Yes. But that's...
I won't give you a signal. I want you to know two things. I'm going to kick in the nuts, and the second I'm going to punch you in the nose.
All right. Thank you for that signal.
Hey. Here's one
Hold
thing.
On. Can I go back to my first one? That was my second one.
Oh! I was trying so hard to make you forget. Go ahead.
I learned recently that the original maps, like the cartographers in Europe, the one people that we have the oldest maps from, they drew the maps with east at the top, not north. And that is the origin of our word to orient yourself, because orient means east. So, like, to get straightened out means to get yourself where the east is on the top.
And I do know this, and I know why. The early map makers all drew their maps laying on their side.
It's actually true. That's why all the ink ran towards the south, which is that makes sense.
No, it ran toward the west.
Well, you ran towards the west. Take that. By the flagpole.
I'm sorry, man. I'm sorry. I don't know. I don't know what your problem is tonight. I think you need to talk to your dad.
Well, he's sleeping.
And tell him what's bothering you.
Yes. What's bothering me?
What's bothering you? I know from my end that I'm still in shock. I'm still in shock.
Yes.
That you have 5,702 other podcasters. From now on, just so you know, this is the moment. You remember this in here. What's the big news of the year on the podcast? On April 17th, 2024, I stopped referring to you as anything other than Scarlet.
I mean, that's when I sent a bunch of pain missiles your way, and only 1% of them got to you.
A bunch of what? A bunch of what?
Pain missiles.
Pain?
I attacked you with
you
insults.
You said pain nipples.
Well, we can do
I
that
thought,
too.
Well, that sounds like the sixth grade movie.
I mean, I can show you.
Nipple twister.
Yeah. The... God, I was so close to saying another thing.
No, there were two things.
No, I said the two things.
Oh, I know. So now you're on to something else?
So close to...
Well, to fill in, I saw the third episode of A Gentleman in Moscow.
Yes.
And exceptionally rewarding.
Damn it. I'm so disappointed. I need to... do my work to see this.
Well, you'll get to it. You'll get to it eventually. But and I saw I'm in the fifth season of Sopranos, and I'm struck by something I had no idea about this series, is that how frequently and sometimes thoroughly they have an episode that is all in a dream state.
Ugh. Yeah.
This entire episode was in a dream state, and it was so bizarre. It was like a Salvador Dali painting, and every turn along the way was just stranger and stranger. And the acting that James Gandolfini had to master is it's difficult. And the other thing to mention, which you'll enjoy, is a surprise to me, was for season five, at least, it looks like it'll be just season five, one of the characters is a prison releasee who is Tony's cousin, whose name is Tony.
Tony.
Tony B.
Tony B.
And is played by Steve Buscemi.
Nice. Steve Buscemi.
It's amazing. It's amazing. Way back then, a young guy, this might have been kind of his breakthrough thing. I don't recall.
No, he was already well known in the early 90s.
Early 90s from what?
From Quentin Tarantino, Reservoir Dogs, and he was in Pulp Fiction and Big Lebowski. He was in lots of stuff.
Pulp Fiction.
He was a waiter. I would not have known this.
Oh, he was in the juke.
I would not have known this, except I just saw a stupid post on Facebook where it was like...
He was in the fake star thing.
Yeah.
But that wouldn't make him famous. It was a bit part.
No, it wouldn't. It wouldn't. But he was known by... He was a friend of Quentin Tarantino, which is enough
to get you in a few movies.
I think so.
He played Buddy Holly in The Restaurant.
Well done. Yes. He, when I was in, so I swear, when I was in Denmark in 1999, he was a fashion model. There were posters at the bus stop of like men's cologne where he was the model.
Really?
And
he is odd looking dude.
Like he is not. I mean, he's not sexy, and except in the bizarre way that he's such an odd looking dude. But the fact that he got a contract to pose in black and white, you know, in just posing in a bedroom with the curtains or whatever. It's just like, what the fuck were they thinking? But,
well, you know, I don't know what catapulted him, but I think it might have been what the fuck? The dude.
Yes, the Big Lebowski. I just mentioned that. Yep.
Yes. And he underplayed that.
So well.
So well. But how could you not underplay it if you were with, what's his face? Goodman?
Yeah. So I know the name of his character in The Big Lebowski. Because when that came out, I had a friend named Donnie.
Donnie.
And the whole bit of that movie was, they were like, shut the fuck up, Donnie. Shut the fuck up, Donnie. Donnie. And
Donnie, you're out of your depth.
And so
that was
my friend group.
John Goodman.
My friend group had this friend named Donnie, and the poor bastard got so much, you know, shut the fuck up. From that, but so it goes.
Well, it's been
an evening.
It's been an interesting, shocking kind of episode here. What number are we on?
Do you want to sing me something like my other podcast?
I think I'm looking for something.
Friends, or
I'm looking for something.
This is 215. 215. Show notes at happyhour.fm/215. You can support the show at patreon.com/happyhour, which we would very much appreciate. And
well, I do have a musical selection.
Well,
let's see.
One of these days.
The fluttering of paper is an interesting background.
Fluttering of papers is fluttering the paper. Bittering and buttering of baiters.
Long as I remember, the rain's been coming down.
Yep.
Clouds of mystery pouring, confusion on the ground. Good men through the ages trying to find the sun. And I wonder, still I wonder, who stopped the rain. I went down Virginia seeking shelter from the storm. Caught up in the fable, I watched the tower grow. 5-year plans and new deals wrapped in golden chains. And I wonder, still I wonder, who stopped the rain.
And that does it for episode number 215. You can find the show notes at happyhour.fm/215. And you can help support the show at patreon.com/happyhour. We would really love it if you could support us at the Gin Martinis level, at which point you can watch a video of us waving our hands at each other and trying to explain what North and South is. See you next week.